Angélica.
Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live. We are live. Eve Marie, baby, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It's a Sunday morning.
It is. It is Sunday morning. We are up.
Sunday morning / afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah, because it is 12 o'clock. It's like 12:20 for you. It's only 10:20 for me. So
it's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday, right? But it's actually a nice day so far. It's not too hot. Yeah, it's not too hot just yet. I was going to try to get up and take the dogs for a walk before we podcasted, but I was like, yeah, that bed looks really scrumptious. So we're just going to stay in this bed for a bit. Yes.
Yes. It's so funny. You are so food driven with your word. Because scrumptious, you can like taste it, man.
Listen,
it's so funny.
When you are on, like, I'm not on a diet kick, like we and I discussed in our personal conversations. I am on this macros, counting macros and learning all this different stuff. And so I have had another weight loss, if you will. I'm down to 265. I had put a little bit on during COVID. I put a little bit of weight on.
We all did.
Right. And so I've dropped back down to 265. And awesome. At this point, I'm kind of losing like a pound a day or so, or three to four pounds a week seems to be my average. So yeah. I'm just staying with it and I'm working hard. I have all the workout equipment I can possibly have.
And, for your size of apartment, yes.
Right, for my size, you know, honestly, I go outside. You know, I have the battle rope, I have the heavy jump rope, so I go outside to my parking lot and do the jump rope and the battle rope and take my dogs for walks, and you know, I'm gonna, you know, like I told you, 40's coming up, and if you know me, you know what the goal at the end game is.
Let's leave it.
What's funny? Why are you laughing about my
you
goal?
You already know.
No, I want to hear Eva Marie. Yes. Yes. What's going on? This banter. I love it. All right. Anyways, village, let's get this show started. We got a bunch of topics today, and you guys are going to be just kind of traveling along with us on this journey of these topics today. The first thing I want to discuss, Eve Marie, is our village heroes. Now, you and I have discussed, we're not going to have a village hero every week. Sometimes there are not, you know, we're not able to find something that's, you know, out there in the open. You got to do a little bit of digging. We don't have a full production team, so it's basically on you and I to find these topics, and Dr. Sai, he sends us stuff as well. But this week's village heroes, I want to send a village salute to all the firefighters and emergency services that are fighting the fires in California. All the women and men that are fighting these fires, the village absolutely thanks you, because you know, you're keeping us safe. You're keeping these homes safe. You're keeping people safe. You're keeping businesses safe. Like, they're doing an amazing job. And I saw I've seen photos of these firefighters, and they're just, you can see the exhaustion in their face, but they are just doing it. And you can, inside, you know, they love what they're doing. right? You know they love it, but their faces just say, man, if I can just get, you know, 4 or 5 hour nap, you know, I'd probably be a lot better, but they're doing it.
Have you ever, so proud of them. You ever fought a fire? Have you ever, I mean, even a small fire, have you ever?
Right, and when I was active.
Have you ever burnt anything?
Yeah, and when I was on active duty, we all had to do, like, I remember wearing the OBAs and the fire suits.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Them things are heavy.
It's exhausting. It's heat is exhausting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And I've only trained in simulators. I've never had to actually be on a fire team. Like, I trained with the fire team.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Trained with them. Did all the drills, did all the work, but an actual fire, I was in a different position when if we had an actual fire. So, but it's just the training was insane. Like, just to have that mask on and that fire suit and have to get out there and fight, oh my God, it's insane. So
it is.
The fact that they're doing this and they're doing it day after day after day, and they're and they are, it's just amazing to me. So, Village, if you know a firefighter or a first responder, emergency services, please let them know. The Village really, really appreciates you. We thank you for absolutely everything you're doing. Eve Marie, you have any thoughts on that?
It's the same. You know, our public servants, our firefighters, our nurses, our doctors, our EMTs, all of these different people just work tirelessly. And this has been the year. If there was a year and a half in modern history that I can has just been rifled with this stuff, it's been the last two years.
Yeah.
You know, and because this time last year we were dealing with the exact same,
yes we were,
wildfires, and then we had Australia dealing with their fires that took out half of their country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thank you, because you know, you're protecting people and businesses. You're also controlling these fires so it doesn't take out more of our natural resources that we need.
Exactly.
You know, we need our trees. We need our trees. We need our rivers. We need our wildlife. We're an ecosystem. So thank you, because you have training. I couldn't go out and do that.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it's just crazy. So I'm very, very thankful for these individuals and things like that. So it's just amazing. So thank you very, very much, Village. On behalf of the Village, we thank you very, very,
very,
very
much.
All right, so let's move on here to this next topic here. We're talking about some world news. Now, we are looking at South Africa. Right, let's discuss some world news and COVID all in one. South African COVID cases reach 600,000. That is, that is insane.
It is.
That is absolutely insane that it's gotten to that point. I can't even fathom, I can't. It's so wild to me that it's gotten to this point.
This virus is tenacious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time when they've been able to get things kind of under control, but it's not behaving in ways that virologists are comfortable with.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, we've seen it over and over again. They shut down Asian countries. They had it completely countrywide, you know, or citywide controlled. The second they opened the doors and lifted restrictions, bam, within 2 weeks, bam, it's up again. It's a crazy, crazy virus.
It very much so. And it's one of those things where, you know, 600,000 cases. Now, let's read a little bit of this article. You know, let's follow this here. I sent you the link as well, Village. I'm just going to read a little bit here. Johannesburg, South Africa's confirmed COVID-19 cases have surpassed 600,000, the health ministry said on Friday. Although the number of new cases has been declining since a peak in July, despite imposing one of the world's toughest lockdowns, at the end of March when the country had only a few hundred cases. So in March, they had a few hundred. It is now August 23rd and they're over 600,000. If y'all cannot take this serious, I don't know what to say at this point. Go ahead,
Eva. Yeah. My little community is 4,000 or 5,000 people top. And we saw the middle of July, we had exactly 27 cases. Those 27 cases were three that had come, people who had traveled in to our town. The rest, somehow a nursing home had gotten hit. We are at 108 at the end of August. And that kind of growth is not exponential towards what we're seeing with Africa, or, you know, this African nation, but it's still exponential for my small community.
Right. Well, I mean, it's based on, like, how large your community.
Yeah, demographics.
That's what it's based
on. So we're up 34.8% this week.
It's insane.
34.8%. The kids went to school 4 days.
Were telling me about that.
4 days, and they've already identified staff members that have been staff member or members that have been diagnosed. They had to shut the school down for 2 days. And our kids, how it works is our kids go to school. They split them into two groups. They go to school 2 days a week, 3 days a week. Their online learning is a hybrid. They have already taken two of those in class days out for next week. They've been in school a week.
That's crazy.
And just to think that it's growing, our community went 3 months without any growth. But the second we lifted some of those restrictions, started eating in dining rooms again, started making public, you know, stuff again, started seeing people in class together, boom, we're back up. Yeah, we're now seeing the we're not seeing the effect, and it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely crazy to think.
And I think the sad part is that as a society, some countries are taking this a little more serious than others, right? Some are taking it very, very serious, but then there are some that are just like, I'm gonna live my life. It is what it is, whatever the case may be. Listen, I'm not saying that these people are not going to recover, and I hope and pray that they do recover, right? And at the end of the day, I also hope that we can simply say, okay, maybe we need to take a different measure at this point because something's not right, something's not going the way it should. And at this point, let's not be afraid to go back to the drawing board, to the very first thing, and say, okay, this didn't work. Let's backtrack it all the way as far back as we have to figure this out. Because if you want people to resume their lives and not be out there wearing masks and spreading this, we have to figure something out. You know,
I read an
article, and I wish I would have saved it, but it was along the lines of COVID-19 is here forever. This could be the way that we have to live life for the rest of our lives if we don't figure something out. So, this is going to be a tough one.
You know, everybody takes this idea of herd immunity as being what we want to reach. And herd immunity just means so many people have gotten it that our bodies start having antibodies to be able to fight the infection. The infection does not become as crucial and as devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Not one area has actually reached, and they're not positive. They have a few areas that they think have probably reached herd immunity. But we're going by the assumption that we're going to reach a herd immunity with it.
Right.
We're going by assumption of all previous viruses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a scientist. I like to read scientific stuff. I try and understand as much as I can. I'm not an Einstein, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we're just going by the idea that we're going to definitely reach this herd immunity. And my question is, what if we don't? What's the next step? How do we keep our vulnerable populations safe? And I'm sorry, kids, young adults, this virus attacks young adults. It attacks everybody. But if you read a lot of the stuff they're coming up with, they're saying, yes, that these kids are, the majority of them aren't dying from it, but they're having lasting health effects from it. It is causing other things and causing health problems that are going to be with them for the rest of their life from a virus. And if you know anything about viruses, everybody's like, oh, don't get the COVID. The COVID as though it's this being that thinks. Mm-hmm. It's not. It is an organism that basically it does nothing but is made to reproduce itself. Mm-hmm. And because it's a foreign body that's going into your body, it causes certain reactions within your body that makes you want to fight it.
Right.
So it's not a thinking organism. It's just like any other organism on the planet. It wants to repopulate itself. It doesn't look at you and say, oh, you look scrumptious. I'm going to attack you.
Yes.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's just not like, hey, you're the next victim. No.
Your lungs are looking mighty tasty, boo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you cough? Let me pounce on that. No. It enters your system and it wants to reproduce. That is its only mindset. Mm-hmm. It's like, what was it on Star Trek? The little furry things, the quibbles or whatever, that their main thing, okay, you didn't watch Star Trek when you were a kid, apparently. No. They had, okay, so the whole precipice is that on Star Trek, there was a foreign animal that they got off of that was cute and furry, that it was just this little round thing, and its entire purpose was to reproduce itself. And one of the people took it on the ship, and the next thing you know, every bit of the ship is covered with these little furry things. That's what COVID reminds me of.
Okay, I like the analogy.
Its main purpose is just to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. Unfortunately, that reproduction is seen by our system as an attack. Mm-hmm. And so that our system causes all of these different processes that make us ill. So my question is, what if we don't produce antibodies to stop it from reproducing in our bodies over time?
Right. Yeah.
Now, they are saying that there's people that have produced these antibodies, but then I've seen news reports where they say, hey, we thought that these were the antibodies that were reproduced for this, and it wasn't that. So it's one of those, do we really know what's going on? And I said that over and over again. Do we have a full scope and range of what this virus is, what it's doing, what the future holds?
Yes, and we don't.
And I don't believe we do.
There are so many unanswered questions in regards to how this actually operates in our bodies, because they come up, they say, oh, well, if you have this symptom, there's a possibility you may have contracted COVID, right? And they come up with these different lists all the time. So it's, oh, do you have this cough? Do you have dry eyes? Do you have this? Do you have that? Have you lost your sense? I read one, have you lost your sense of taste? It's like, whoa.
Yes. Yes, sense of taste is the one I watch for, because I have allergies. Mm-hmm. I've been sick for a week. I do not have COVID. I haven't gotten to where I can't breathe. It's chronic sinusitis. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, have I lost my sense of taste? Have I gotten a fever? Yeah. And those are the ones that are gonna give me a better idea if I'm sick.
Right.
This is the time of year where I'm just sick. You know this.
Yeah. Well, I have allergy issues as well, so I get it.
And, you know, but they said an itchy throat is not a sign of COVID. If your throat itches, that's, you know, if you have dry eyes, that's not a sign of COVID. That's a sign of allergy. If you get to where you can't breathe and you're coughing and you feel like your lungs are filling up, that's a sign of COVID.
Yeah,
that's a possibility for COVID.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really just knowing what you're looking at.
Right.
But if you start running a fever and have a sore throat, get tested.
Yeah.
At least know that that you could, you know, so you can self-isolate so it doesn't spread as fast.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so let me finish up a little bit on this here article real quick. So the ministry said in a statement, South Africa now had a total of 603,338 cases and 12,843 deaths, accounting for more than half of the continent's cases and around 47% of its deaths, according to a Reuters tally of government and World Health Organization data. Africa's most industrialized economy reported 3,398 new cases on Friday, compared with a peak of over 13,000 cases a day seen in July. So at the end of the day, you know, they're coming down. The numbers are coming down in South Africa. But at the same time, the numbers, they're still at 600,000 cases. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot of people that have been affected by this. So,
yeah,
you know, at the minimum, all these governments, man, we have to work together, because it could become an issue of you stay in your box, I'll stay in my box, and that is all. And what you don't want to do is live like that. So, you know, there it is. So,
yeah.
I'm encouraged that a solution will be found at some point or another, and let's just go from there. Okay, so anything else on this, Eve Marie, before we move on?
No, sir.
Okay, so let's move on. This is a story that I believe you may have sent it to me. I don't remember, but
I don't think I sent you any of them this week.
This week? Okay. I don't know where I got this one from.
I don't know either. It looks like one I would find, but...
Yeah, but so I found this one this week, and I probably found it, knowing me. But basically, I thought it was kind of a joke, right? But then I saw Florida, and I was like, okay, it makes sense.
Stop it! Stop you know? It!
All right, Stop so. It. Jurassic Park experiment, 750 million genetically engineered mosquitoes to be released in Florida. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, read the article.
Yes, U.S. authorities have approved a plan to release more than 750 million genetically modified mosquitoes across the Florida Keys, despite objections from local residents. British-based firm Oxitec are behind the project. They will test whether the altered mosquitoes can work as an alternative to pesticides to control the spread of diseases such as Zika, dengue, chikungunya, and yellow fever, according to CNN. The male mosquito, which is named OX5034, has been created to produce female offspring that die at larval stage before they grow big enough to spread disease and bite. Female mosquitoes bite for blood while they mature their eggs, but males do not carry the disease as they feed on nectar, according to Sky News. The mosquitoes will only be released in Florida Keys in 2020, but will be expanded into Harris County, Texas, where I was born, in 2021, after the Environmental Protection Agency granted Oxitec request for experimental use permit. Before I continue reading on or even get any thoughts, Eva Marie, do you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about Jurassic Park. You remember that scene when they were in the jungle and they found the eggs? And they said, life found a way. You remember, in Jurassic Park, they said, you know, they're all females. They're all females. They can't reproduce.
They've all been genetically engineered to be female.
Yes, right? And then, of course, you know, Jeff Goldblum's character's like, did you guys go out and lift their skirts up and be sure? You know, right? Like, this is what I see happening. I see them saying, oh, we can control this, and it's just that it'll be that one or two female eggs right? Those one or two female eggs that life carries on. Somehow, some way, life carries on. And that, listen, I hope they have it figured out, but I'm gonna be honest with you. That's what I see. When I read the title of Jurassic Park, I was like, yep, here we go. Release these 750 million mosquitoes into the wild, right? And then next thing you know, 4 years from now, how the hell did these mosquitoes become 3 billion? Who knows? Your thoughts?
Did you said you weren't aware. So I read the article.
Yeah, I read it too.
The article was interesting because it said that they made it to where the male mosquitoes, per the female, not the male mosquitoes that get reproduced, but the female mosquitoes that get reproduced don't live beyond a certain stage.
Right.
So that, because the female mosquitoes
are the ones that drink the blood.
The ones that bite you and leave the itchy poison.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to, because the male mosquitoes do not bite, they drink nectar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why mosquitoes do this. It's a little weird.
Yeah, that's something that I didn't get a chance to follow up on that. I just read the article.
So they're saying they're trying to take our mosquito population, because just like everything else, we need everything.
Yeah, of course.
We need bees, we need mosquitoes, we need spiders, we need snakes. Whether we like these things or not, our ecosystem is
everyone has a job, essentially.
Yeah, everybody has a job, and mosquitoes have a job. They do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you, they feed other insects. So the idea is incredibly interesting, because the idea is that we're going to release these mosquitoes that we need, because they're pollinators and they feed other bugs. But we're going to do it in such a way and try and produce and wipe out the other mosquitoes, I guess, over time, you know, mm-hmm.
Crossbreeding
and stuff like that, so that the new mosquitoes aren't giving people things like Zika. And, you know, they're doing it in such a way because they're trying to lower the amounts of these horrible diseases that are getting spread. Very interesting. But life will find a way.
That's what I'm trying to, that is my point of this article.
Yeah.
That is why I wanted to discuss this article. I am simply saying life will find a way. I am not a scientist. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology. That is all I have. But what I do understand is that you cannot stop life.
Yeah, and here's the other part. Here's the conundrum. There is a reason within nature that those female mosquitoes drink blood. We don't know what it is. Maybe some scientists do know.
Of course,
the reason
yes.
for them having to drink the blood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of the wolves in the national park. You know, you've heard of that whole thing where they introduced wolves back into a national park, and the national park had lots of issues.
Yep.
And within, what was it, 10 to 15 years, those wolves just being in the park changed the face of the park.
Yes, I've read those studies. I have.
And it's incredibly interesting, and it's amazing, and I love it. I love how, but then I'm looking at, when do we stop altering the way that our planet runs itself? Because you're talking about altering something, you know, we're just as a species trying to keep ourselves from extinction.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're doing every single day. From a scientific point of view, we are an organism and we're trying to keep ourselves from extinction. And the planet is saying, you are a very big drainer of our resources, so we are going to find ways to try and attack you.
Mm-hmm.
That's really point blank what is happening, you know, with things like Zika and even COVID. You know, our planet is going, hey, we have to figure out what battle axe we can throw at you, because you are a big brainer and you're killing us off. And this is, and we're trying to come back and say, no, we're going to use our own weapon to try and keep going. And it's, you know, plan is bigger. Mm-hmm. The plan is bigger than we are. So I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm not, per se, I am saying it's something to be incredibly cautious of if we don't have the right amount of information going out there, right, and going forward with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jurassic Park, life will find a way, man.
Life will find a way. That's all, that was the reason why when I, because I sat and kind of read through this and, okay, so Village, you're gonna, how do I say this? I understand what these scientists are trying to do. I kind of think it's a good idea, right? I understand.
The idea is good.
I think the base, the premise of what they're trying to do, I understand it and I like it, but you can't contain life. Something is going to happen with these things and it's going to evolve, right? Just like human beings evolved, these bugs will evolve. And something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. I don't know what that is, right? And I hope it doesn't happen, right? Even I hope it doesn't. But I
and we may not see it happen in our lifetime.
We might not.
We're talking about organic beings. We're not talking about pieces of programming put together. We're talking about
genetic code. Yes, a genetic code that's going to evolve over time. We may not see it in our lifetimes, but our great grandkids can. And that's who you have to think about. Like at this point, you can't just think about the now. Think about what happens 100 years from now, when you and I are long gone. Think about 100 years.
800 years ago, they've already said people were shorter and smaller than we are today.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big jump. That's a huge jump genetically for people, you know, and we're only talking 800 years. And we did that all natural, right?
We evolved.
Yeah. Evolution is going to happen. Yes. It's going to happen.
I agree.
It's happening on our planet right now. Was it Nigeria? I saw an article, and I didn't read it, but it said that more twins are born in Nigeria than any other place on Earth. That is a genetic thing. That is a genetic, and that is an evolution process within that country that's happening. It's incredibly interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, why Nigeria? Why that particular place on Earth? It's science and it's genetics and it's how our planet works. Why are skin tones different? It's a genetic evolution process that has happened within our species. And so now we're going to take another species and they're going to say, we're going to mess with your genetics to try and make you better so that you don't take us out.
Right. Not going to happen that way. I hope it does happen that way. So we'll just stand by and see, right? That's all you can do. Stand by and see. All right, Eva Marie, let's move on here to this next one. This is not necessarily a link or an article that I have, but it's more or less a discussion that you and I are going to have. So we're heading into the election cycle for president, all that stuff, right? And I got into a discussion with someone that I've known since probably 7th, 8th grade. And basically he is a avid Trump supporter. I do not support the current administration, right? But he posed a question, basically, you know, Trump has his flaws, but so what? And I said, you know, this is the reason why I'm not going or following or support the current administration, right? I gave my reasons why. And at the end of that conversation, we basically came to the conclusion that no matter what he says or no matter what I say, I'm not going to change how I feel. He's not going to change how he feels. So my question to you, Eva Marie, in regards to politics is, as a society, have we reached that point where we don't listen to each other? We're not willing to change our views, and that's it. Once we're set, we're set. That's it. Are people unable to listen and change their point of view because we're set in our ways, and that's the end of it? Do you think that we've hit that point where this two-party system, either you're with this side or you're with that side? What are your thoughts on that?
No, because I know people who are not with either side. I think, unfortunately, our political system is very media driven. Our political system is very Hollywood. It's not set in such a way that makes sense anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's very, it's driven by the media. It's driven by what it's driven less by what are your actual views and how can you help the country, and more me, what can you give me? What could you give me? What could you do for my family? And less, hey, what are the hard decisions we have to make for an entire country? And unfortunately, that also wraps up into this idea of, well, we'll pick the lesser evil.
Hey, that was the other point I was going to make.
Let's stop picking the evil, period.
Right.
There are good people in lower positions of government. Some really good people in local government that could probably, honestly, be incredible presidents, incredible central government figures. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we have this Hollywood idea of if you don't have a whole bunch of money and you've never ran a multinational company, or you've never done this or you've never done this, there's no way you could run a whole country. Mm-hmm. We need to stop picking the evil. Evil's evil. Right. I don't care if you're Biden. I don't care if you're Trump. I don't care if you're a Clinton. If you've done some crap, you've done some crap.
Right.
Because, you know, I like to simplify things and I like to use some comparisons, right? And I kind of compare it to high school. You know, the jocks that get away with a whole bunch of stuff because they're really good jocks. The band person who gets away with really good, with a lot of crap because they're in band. Doesn't matter what the grades are, and it doesn't happen everywhere. And I'm not saying that everyone who plays sport is not incredibly intelligent, but I'm saying it's this idea of if you can do this one thing really, really well, you should be an elite person, and you should be in control of something. And it doesn't make sense. I hear a lot, for instance, and I'm just going to use this for instance because I hear it a lot. I live in an area that's very much supports the current administration. And I hear a lot that President Trump is very good for our country because he's a businessman and we need a businessman in office.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, yes, he's a very good businessman. But is he a good diplomat? Because you can't be good at just one thing.
Right.
As president. You can't be good at just one thing and be a fantastic president. It doesn't work that way. You can be really good at providing more jobs for the country or this, and a horrible diplomat. And we need diplomats. We need people that can get along, not even necessarily, because you don't have to be best friends with these other countries per se, but you do have to come to reasonable ties with them. Reasonable, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I don't like I'm not a political person because I really see politics as Hollywood so much of the time. But I will say, why do we choose the evil at all? Why are we not rising up in these years before we get to an election and saying, hey, Joe Schmo over here is a good guy, and he's a good businessman, and he's a good diplomat, and he's this, that, and the other. Why aren't we putting money underneath his platform? Why aren't we saying, hey, Joe Schmo, you would make a great president. Let me throw you some dollars so that you can campaign, so we can rise you up in government, instead of saying, well, we got Trump or we got Hillary, or we've got Biden or we've got Trump. And we know that this person's done a bunch of dirt, and we know that this person's done a bunch of dirt, and we know where they're at on both sides.
Right.
Why do we keep picking the same people? Right. Why can't we look across the country? Because I remember growing up with the idea that I could be president of the United States. Kids now know that that's not a possibility. There is no way, I'm sorry, that your five-year-old is ever going to become president of the United States. Unless, of course, your last name is Clinton or Trump or, you know, some Hollywood star or politics.
Politics is hard to get into. Politics is a very, very dirty game.
Right. It shouldn't be if we're going under the premises of what politics was supposed to be in our country. Hmm. It was supposed to be anybody within this country could rise if they were smart enough, ambitious enough, and really knew their stuff and had the heart to do it and were good for this country, could go up there and be our leader. Mm-hmm. I don't tell my, you know, of course I tell my kids they can do anything, right? But do I wholeheartedly believe that they can be president of the United States? No, I don't.
Yeah.
Because our political system is no longer made that way. Now, I want them to think, and I want them to have that self-esteem that they're going to work their butt off to try. Of course, because anything's possible. But the idea that it's truly possible without really almost having to create a political family from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, yeah. We're talking, okay, you know, Miranda, who is my oldest at 24, when she was 5, you can be president. What I'm really saying to her is, Miranda Leanne, you can rise, you can start the process for your great-great-grandchild to be president.
Exactly. Yes.
And that's what I want. That's where we're at now as a political party, as a political system. You know, we got to quit choosing the evils. That's where I'm at. Yeah. We got to quit choosing the evils.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's just where I'm at. We've got to put choosing the evil.
Right. I look at it as we're at this point where you look at the candidate and you're like, well, I like his dirt or her dirt more than I like his or her dirt. That's basically what it says. Yeah. That's basically what we're doing at this point. It is, whose dirt do you mind not putting your hands in? I can put my hands in his dirt, but I can't put my hands in her dirt.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. That's all it is at this point.
And, you know, I think what kills me overall, really, really kills me, is behind the scenes, all of these people have lunch together.
Oh, yeah.
All these people have dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
They play golf. And apparently we had an island for pedophilia where a lot of these political candidates have gone.
I am waiting for more of that to unfold, because we're going to cover that story. That's going to be a big one.
It scares me and it saddens me and it horrifies me and it makes me go, we have got, like, I am so tired of saying we have got to do better. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of saying it. I try every single day to do better. But I'm just like, at what point do we rise up as a country and say, this is not good, this is not cool, and we are not doing it anymore?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said it before to the kids, and I think I've said it to you. At what point are we going to see social uprising and we're going to see another civil war, and we're going to see states literally break off because they're tired of bullshit?
Mm-hmm. They're tired of it.
I know a lot of people that are very much tired of it, and they're tired of watching people be sheep for two political parties that at the end of the day really don't care whether your family eats. They really, really, really don't. I'm sure there are political people within politics that really do give a darn. But high at the totem pole, I don't see our current administration or any current administration coming in that truly does not sleep at night knowing that a family's being evicted from their home callously. Or that entire school districts are going under and, you know, kids are in dangerous buildings. Or, are they really losing sleep at night that we're going to lose our affiliation with some of these other world powers that could keep our country safe? Are they really doing that? Or are they looking at, okay, can I keep this country afloat when it comes to money so that I can keep money going into my dynasty? You know?
Agreed, and yeah.
Across the board, like, what are we really, truly, if I don't like our politics. I love being free. And I know that part of that is being free. You know, I love the freedom our country has, but at the same time, are we really free with this political system?
Right.
You know, what is that freedom bringing us?
Yeah. What does this actually bring? It doesn't bring, what we have doesn't foster the removal of dirt, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't, because we're basically recycling through politicians. You know, based on name, we're just kind of cycling through the system. Oh, I can already tell you now, there will be another Trump that's going to run for president or run for governor or whatever. The Trump name is now in the political system, if you will, right? Just like Clinton is in the political system, being a Kennedy, you're in the political system. There are certain names that are just in the political system, and they're going to have the step up above anybody else, right?
You're groomed from birth, yeah.
Yeah, like when I look at people like AOC, she's a senator from New York, I believe, senator or congresswoman, I'm not 100% sure. I'm sorry, Village, forgive me for that. But she is someone that I can say literally, she was like, I don't like this, and so I'm gonna run. And she won. She got out there and she won. I had never heard her name. I had never heard of this young lady.
And that's a good
until she popped up. I was like, whoa. So I went and watched the documentary about her and how she came up through the ranks. And I'm like, that's how you do it.
That's a good thing, because it keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, fresh ideas.
Fresh ideas, and you know what? I think when you've been in power for so long, you just, for some reason, power ends up making you think you're untouchable. It also produces dirt, stress, causes you to do stupid crap. The idea, and also the idea of maybe a lot of these politicians never wanted to be politicians, but they were groomed to be that way because they're in a position they didn't want in the first place, you know? So it's nice to see fresh ideas, and it's nice to see people that are coming from a place where they've been where we're at, you know? They're not the elite of the country. They've been where we're at, so they have more of an ear to what's actually happening and what's actually needed. You know, you can learn worldwide politics, right? You can learn that, because you don't need to know the ins and outs of everyday life in Germany to have a political tie to Germany and across it. But you definitely need to know the ins and outs of St. Louis if you're going to help run St. Louis, is the easy way of saying it. You have to be able to, you know, walk in and really be able to empathize and understand being the little guy, being the big guy, you know, being the middle class guy. You really have to be able to understand these communities to be able to lead them. You know, I think in past, a lot of the presidents going back were a little more connected to the little guy. Mm-hmm. And that's why as a country, we came together better, because they did, you know. We had presidents who were cobblers, you know. Mm-hmm. So they went and did their presidential office, then they went home and they fixed shoes or
and
whatever.
And continued life as they chose to continue life.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. It wasn't everything, you know, and life has gotten bigger, and what the presidential office of course needs has gotten bigger, but it doesn't mean that they don't have to have the pulse of the country. Mm-hmm. And that means the entire country. And that means everyone in it, not mm-hmm. just one side or the other. And I think that's what we've lost. Yeah, you can be a Democrat, or you can be a Republican, and you can have a way you do things. But just because you're a Democrat or a Republican doesn't mean that you can't stand for the Democratic people in your country.
Right.
Republican people or the independents. You
exactly.
still have to stand and say, okay, I hear you. How can I help? How can I help? That's as a manager in the industry I work in. A lot of times, something I adopted from a previous manager I had was they said, how can I help? What do you need to make this successful? How can I help? Because that's why I'm here. I'm not here to be over you. I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here to boss your hand. I am here to help. Now, I may ask you to do things, but the whole goal is, how can I help? They're supposed to be helper. They're mm-hmm. supposed to lead. They're supposed to listen. And we've lost that. Not with everyone. There's some very good politicians out there. But these leading elite families, how many of them actually ask every day, how can I help? Where is that at? Mm-hmm. For leaders.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. All right, so that's our politics for today, Village. Eva Marie, we got one more topic and then some Village Idiots, and we'll call it a day, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So
we're going to do a second show this week, and we can pick other topics up then.
And plus, Village, we're also bringing back the second helping. That'll be a 15 to maybe 25-minute show. And we're going to hit you with that like once a week. So we got, you know, we got some things going on, man.
We do.
We got some things going on. We got
the village
is a team. And we got some things going on. So y'all just stand by. You know, I'm not going to tell y'all everything, but just know that we got some things.
Bated breath. Bated breath.
That's right. This last topic here. So we all know who Jam Master Jay is.
Oh, okay.
Jam Master Jay, if you are an 80s baby, you know all about him. When it comes to rap, he is one of the forefathers of rap. He was that guy, New York City rapper, MC. He was part of their group, Run. He was the DJ for the rap group, Run DMC, if you guys don't know. But he was murdered in 2002. He was shot in the head and murdered in cold blood. Well, recently, New York attorneys and the such, prosecutors, detectives, they have figured out who the man was, who Jam Master Jay was murdered by. And apparently all this was over some drug trafficking stuff, right? So let's read a little bit of this story here. Two men have been indicted in the 2002 unsolved murder of Jam Master Jay, the DJ for the rap group Run DMC. Federal prosecutors in New York City have announced Jason Mizell was murdered in Hollis, Queens on October 30th, 2002, shot at point-blank range with a .40 caliber handgun. The defendants allegedly carried out the cold-blooded murder of Jason Mizell, a brazen act that has finally caught up with them, thanks to the dedicated detectives, agents, and prosecutors who never gave up on the case. Acting United States Attorney Ducharme, if I'm saying that incorrectly, forgive me. The charges announced today begin to provide a measure of justice to the family and friends of the victim and make clear that the rule of law will be upheld, whether it takes days, months, or decades. He was murdered in 2002. Today is August 23rd, 2020. I am so happy that this man's murderers are finally, finally caught up to you, you know? Mizell, known professionally as Jam Master Jay, was a member of the 1980s hip-hop sensation Run DMC behind hits as It's Tricky. And if you guys ain't heard that, please go to YouTube, look it up. And if you have not heard Walk This Way, that was a collaboration that they did with Aerosmith. I'm sorry, Fitney Village. That was a collaboration they did with Aerosmith. At the time of his murder, Jam Master Jay was 37 years of age. He had a wife and three kids. Like, it's not just on some celebrity tip, but it's on some let's make this right tip. You know, like, this is a murder that happened, and apparently it was over some drugs. And it blows me away that, you know, this is it. So let me I have another story that I found on hiphopdx.com. Apparently this was Jam Master Jay was killed after a deal reportedly worth $1.7 million went south. ABC7 reports that the late hip hop pioneer was planning to exclude Washington from a large multi-state drug deal. So Washington and Jordan conspired to carry out the murder. Jam Master Jay was ultimately shot and killed inside his Jamaica Queens recording studio on October 30th, 2002. This basically was a drug trafficking murder gone wrong. $1.7 million cocaine deal in 2002, and it cost this man his life. It's very unfortunate. This is truly sad. It's just sad. It's a truly sad thing that, number one, we're killing each other for drug money, but, you know, it's E. Marie. Like, I've been a fan of Run DMC since I was a kid. That's why I'm so happy that this is finally brought to light.
Murder in general, everybody's like, well, you know, they were drug dealers, they were drug dealers, they deserved it. Murder is murder, people. Murder is murder.
Right.
You know, yeah, I'm not super happy that this person was helping peddle drugs. No, but murder is murder.
Right.
Murder is murder.
Right. You let the law handle that. You let the law handle a drug deal. You don't take it into your hands because you're unhappy to murder somebody. No.
Yeah.
So
but what I'm saying is people are just like, well, who cares because they were a drug dealer and it was over drugs gone wrong. No, murder is murder.
And I'm sorry, let me throw this in there, Eva Marie. This is where I'm going to throw this in. I don't care. Don't have the best starts in life, but a lot of them finish strong and finish well and change their lives and do amazing things. Just because he was associated with this $1.7 million cocaine deal, it doesn't mean that he was a bad person, right? Sometimes we as humans make dumb choices, it's whatever, right? I'm not worried. The drugs, okay, stupid, yes. Right?
Stupid,
it was
horrible,
dumb.
Yes,
but you don't get to take someone's life.
You don't
That's
get
what
to
I'm
decide
saying.
You don't get to decide who lives and dies based upon their affiliation. It doesn't happen that way.
No.
It does not happen that way. And you can't set up and say, oh, well, we're going to dismiss this thing that one person is doing or has done in the past, but we're going to highlight what this other person has done, is doing, or has done in their past. We do that all the time in America.
It's so ridiculous that this is what it comes down to. Like, we have to do better. We can't We cannot sit up here and say that this is okay and this is not okay. No, I don't give a damn what, I don't give a damn. 1.7 million, 3 million, 100,000, 100 bucks. It doesn't matter. You don't get to murder somebody, period. So I'm thankful that these men have, the law has finally caught up to them. I'm thankful for that.
They didn't give up because they could have said, well, it was a drug deal go wrong. We know it was due to that. So we can't really find the killers. We're just going to, okay, so I have a family member who, although we can't say it was due to drugs, was killed by someone involved with drugs. And we can't, they've never found the evidence that links the killer to her death. So she was found, she went missing, she was found a year or two later. It's a few years, so I don't remember the actual years, which is horrible of me. Horrible, you know, I'm just not good with time. But you don't say, I could never, ever, ever say, oh, well, you know, she was involved in the past with this person who was into drugs. No, she was killed.
Yeah.
You know she was killed. They know she was killed. To this day, they still have not brought anyone to justice, anybody to justice. And it was horrible. And she left behind two kids. And she was a beautiful human. She had a drug problem, but she was a beautiful human.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wish her, you know, as a member of her family and knowing my cousin and stuff, it would be amazing if they brought her, if that cold case was solved. If we could point and say that is the person who killed my cousin, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the fact that they didn't give up and they found his killer, that's freaking cool.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely amazing. Like I said, as a fan of hip hop, you know, I'm still waiting to find out who actually killed Tupac, who really killed Biggie, you know, things like that. I'm still waiting to find those things out. But the fact that they were able to finally locate the killer of Jam Master Jay, like I said, Jam Master Jay is one of the pioneers of the rap music. He is one of the greats. He was associated with a lot of great music. He was a great producer of his time. After the height of the Run DMC days, if you will, he was a great producer. He kept the talent, everything. So again, am I condoning that he was involved with a $1 million cocaine deal gone wrong? No, I'm not condoning that, right? What I'm simply saying is we as human beings do not have the right to play judge, jury, and executioner. The law is the law for a reason. The law will handle it. If the law says he goes to jail, then guess what? He goes to jail. He does his time. Hopefully he becomes a reformed citizen and he teaches other people, young people in particular, not to take this route, right? But because somebody was angry, they removed that opportunity for us to learn from him, from us to learn from his mistakes. Now all we see is, you know what this teaches young people that are involved in a drug game? Kill them before they kill you.
Yes.
Instead of saying, oh, I can change, I can grow out of this, it's kill before they get to me. And now we got a bunch of dead children because they have this mentality. See what happened to him? He got sloppy or whatever the case may be. No, we have to teach, number one, teach our kids to not deal drugs, not get into that life. That's number one, right? But then we also have to teach our children that, hey, people make mistakes. Hey, this is my mistake. Learn from my mistake. Because as adults, as parents, right? I'm sure our parents looked at us and said, God, I wish they would just figure it out. Well, guess what? We're starting to figure it out, right? I'm in my late 30s. I'm figuring a lot of stuff out. But if I had been taken out because I didn't learn from my mistakes, then what? Now I'm able to teach my sons, and hopefully the things that I'm teaching them now, they'll be able to carry on and learn and not make the mistakes I made. They're going to make mistakes. We're humans.
We are.
That's just what it is. So I'm thankful that this is finally being handled. Jam Master Jay, rest in peace once again. I'm so happy that this is finally being closed, not just as a fan of hip hop, but for his family and loved ones, the people that called him dad, that called him husband, that called him uncle, that called him brother, that called him friend. Those people are getting some closure now. And I'm grateful to hear that. So bravo, Zulu, to the New York Police Department and all those involved with closing this case down.
It's a long case.
So 2002. It's 2020. 18 years.
That's
what you call not giving up, man. Respect. That's all I can say. All right, Eva Marie. Village Idiot time, my dear.
I probably have time for one because I gotta head to work.
Oh, you don't.
I have time for one.
Oh man.
One.
That hurts. I got some good ones today. Okay, so here we go. I'm gonna do them two real quick and let you pick. Okay. Police. Men broke into home and let me go ahead. I'm sorry. Oh, village. Police. Men broke into home while wearing GPS ankle monitors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man.
Okay. I just gotta ask. What is with the neck and face?
I'm not a fan of those either. I'm not a fan of the neck tattoos, the face tattoos. That's never. I can't get into that. I don't condone those that do it because it's a way of expression, but it's just the face and the neck. That's too much for me.
Yeah, for me. A little bit for me.
That's too much for me. It's too much for me. All right, let's read real quick. A group of men already on pretrial release for previous offenses are behind a string of burglaries carried them out while wearing ankle monitors that track their locations, police say. And this is in Florida. Authorities seized more than $150,000 in cash, AK-47, a Smith & Wesson handgun, cell phone, iPad, jewelry, designer handbags, ammunition, blank checks, fraudulent debit and credit cards, and stolen vehicle, the South Florida Sun Sentinel reported. You're a special kind of a special. You have an ankle monitor, and they even tell you the ankle monitors have GPS. They tell you that. We know where you are at all times. So you then decide to carry out burglaries? Okay. Cool. That's all I can say about that. Cool story. Makes my head hurt a lot. What the fuck are you thinking? Ah!
You have to think you're some kind of untouchable.
You have to.
Somebody fed them some wrong information. Oh, we've jammed your ankle monitor, so go get our stuff.
No.
Somebody fed them some stupid is what they did.
That is just beyond me. Okay, last one. Even read.
Last one.
And then we're going to pick.
Yeah. Pick. I don't know. All it's right. Got to be better than those fellas.
Anti-vaccine group sues Facebook, claims fact-checking its censorship. Mm-hmm. So actually having the truth is censorship nowadays. I didn't know that. Let that sink in, Eva Marie. Let that sink in. I see the confusion welling in your face. Let that sink in. Telling the truth is wrong. And it's censorship to fact check somebody. Okay. A notorious anti-vaccine group spearheaded by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. filed suit today in federal court in California. In California, of course, alleging that Facebook's fact-checking program for false scientific or medical misinformation violates its constitutional rights. Children's Health Defense claims in its suit that Facebook, its CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, and the organization Science Feedback, Poynter, and PolitiFact acted jointly or in concert with federal government agencies to infringe on CHD's First and Fifth Amendment rights. The suit also alleges Facebook and the fact-checking organizations colluded to commit wire fraud by clearing the field of anti-vaccine ads. I think you just got to tell the truth. What happened to just telling the truth and just saying, this is the truth? Does your head hurt?
Here's the thing. I have good friends that are anti-vaccine, mm-hmm. right? I do. Beloved, wonderful people that I would never not want in my life. But I am still a very big, if you can give me facts that prove to me that what you're saying is valid, I'm going to listen, mm-hmm. right? But there's also a dangerous side of things where people are being fed jargon that is not true or accurate. So I can understand why Facebook feels the need to say, hey, we need to make sure that the very poignant information that could save lives, you know, is true. Mm-hmm. There should never be an argument being made that can't be backed. If somebody could come to me, anything I say on The Village as a public platform, and say to me, this is why you're wrong and here are the facts, I will refute what I say. I am so sorry. I didn't have those facts. This is why I'm always saying I'm not a scientist.
I don't know all that.
These are opinions. Mm-hmm. If you have to go to federal court to say, well, they're bullying me, because they're making me prove my points, and that's against my rights. That's a little odd.
Very.
I don't know if I call it village idiot per se. I call that more manipulative than anything else. Mm-hmm. I see that more as all manipulation tactics.
Yeah.
But
So to wrap it up to get it all done, because you gotta go.
I gotta go to work in just a couple of minutes.
village idiot. I'm gonna go with the three guys that were robbing houses with GPS. We see you. We saw you the whole time. I bet you they POs was like, dude, what? Man, don't even call him. Just let him finish up. Whatever. We'll arrest him in the morning.
You can't see me. I'm hidden. You can't see me.
Yeah, I can't see your face, but the GPS said otherwise.
But I'm still here. I just remember
that's the name of the show. The GPS says otherwise.
You remember when all the kids were little and you were teaching them how to play peekaboo or hide and go seek, mm-hmm. and they'd literally stand in the middle of the room. Mm-hmm. And put a hoodie over their heads, and they're like, "You can't see me." Mm-hmm. All I'm saying right now,
right?
They did not teach them to play hide and go seek very well. Hide and go seek blunders, right there.
Hide and go seek, they failed. All right, Eve Marie, great show as usual. Village, if you guys want to listen to the show, check us out on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic. Village, we are now on Spotify. If you have Spotify, download us on Spotify. Check us out on Spotify. We're on Tumblr, we're on YouTube, and we're on LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, look for Kevin Johnson, that's me, and you'll see I post all the show links and videos. Twitter, @EnlightenMyMind, @W2TheVillage, @MuseChaotic. Welcome to the Village on Instagram. Facebook is Welcome to the Village. Google phone, 619-387-8125. Eve Marie, thank you for the great show, my dear. I will talk with you later. Village, as the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Have a great week, guys.
Yo, we want to thank you all for listening to the Village. God bless. Good night.
Say, what does it gotta be so damn cool?